Yep, it's Party Friday with Chuck Bonneville and Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up. We're going to have a jam-packed program. We're going to have Patrick Neville. We're going to have Ted Trimp on the other side. We're going to have Peter Boyles, Jan Cook. I don't know how I'll get it in an hour, but we'll figure out somehow to do
it. The show brought to you today, as always, by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. Great website, one we check every day. They really are, particularly during this shutdown, presenting, I think, a fair and balanced shouldn't say fair and balanced. They're presenting it from a conservative point of view and letting people know what's going on. Like you said, a lot to talk. We're going to have the Ask a Democrat portion of the show.
And we also are brought by Synagenics, the way to make it through this whole COVID-19 pandemic and get yourself back where you need to be.
In terms of health and things like that. Yes. A lot to talk about. One of the things I wanted to talk to Patrick about, and we're trying to get him on now. I know that he's a busy guy. You may or may not have seen... And I want to bring you up to speed on a lot of things going on with restaurants. Well, we have Polis slamming the iron fist of his illegal edicts down on some restaurants. Well, as it turns out, some restaurants are more equal than other restaurants. There are restaurants, for instance, in Weld County, where Weld County has said, thank God for Weld County, we're not going to enforce this health law. We didn't open the restaurant. We can't close the restaurant. As a result, restaurants in Greeley and in Weld County are open. In Garfield County, where Lauren Boebert has her Shooter's Grill, right. The health department issued her a cease and desist order. The Garfield County Sheriff there posted on his Facebook page saying, look, you know, I don't do this. It's like, we can serve the order if you want, which they didn't do. But he said, I'm not closing. Well, it's kind of confusing as to who actually served the order.
Oh, okay.
But he said, we're not going to enforce that. He said, I'm not enforcing it. It's not my job to tell a business whether they can or can't close down. Meanwhile, there are other restaurants that are open too. And it's just become this complete mess. And
we've got Patrick Neville, the Minority Report, like every Friday, Party Friday. Patrick, great to have you back on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So what do you make, like we were saying, some restaurants are more equal than other restaurants in Colorado. Some restaurants can be open. Other restaurants, their owners face going to jail. I want to point this out. Channel 9 of the Denver Post are reporting that there was a murder in Denver over the weekend. The person arrested in connection with the murder is somebody that the governor and the Department of Corrections ordered released because of special COVID-19 cases, right? So if you're a murderer, it's okay. You don't have to go to jail.
Well, you can
get
keep
out
on
of jail.
Your profession.
Right, but if you're a restaurant owner just trying
they
to
got
make a living.
Jail sale open for you.
I mean, what's the latest on this and what are kinds of stuff are you guys doing?
Oh my gosh. I mean, the hypocrisy is just off the charts with this governor. I mean, he gets down there and Sunday night and does this big speech and says, you know, don't visit your mother. You know, this restaurant was terrible and I'm going to use my ultimate authority. I mean, he didn't even have to. That's what's funny about this too. He could have just left it to Tri-County, who was just as authoritarian as he was, but he took it into his own hands, went all the way up to the state level and said, I am personally using my authority to revoke the license of CNC Coffee indefinitely. So he made that conscious decision. Then he went on to say, oh, well, you know, we're all expected to follow the law. Never mind the fact that, you know, it was, gosh, in 2015, he did his illegal dinner here in Colorado to make his point about overregulation of food, which I actually agree with him on. But, you know, it's funny. Oh, he can break the law when it's a law that he disagrees with. But when it's his order, it's suddenly a law, which is actually not even a law. It's, you know, it's an executive order. There is a difference.
Right.
And then, you know, hours later, he's recruiting Elon Musk to come here, who just flouted an order in California. And so it's okay if it's Elon Musk. Come on in. But if you're a little mom and pop shop in Castle Rock, no, definitely not. And then it's funny, like you said, the way he used the full force of state government against these guys have been pretty outspoken against Polis and his orders. Yet there's other restaurants out there who've done the same thing that haven't been as outspoken against him, who he's kind of left alone and he hasn't really made an example of. Mm. And the same thing is happening with the counties that he's doing, the counties that are turning in variances. Eagle County, they turn in a variance, flies right through, gets right through the governor's office. CDPHE approves it almost immediately. Weld County does one. No, it takes a long time. Doesn't really get done that quick. Logan County does one, and they actually use the numbers within the correctional facility in Logan County as though they are representative of the entire county as a reason to deny the variance in Logan County. Montezuma County, they actually misclassify a death, a guy that actually got drunk and died of alcohol poisoning. He had a 0.55 alcohol level. They change it to a COVID death and then use it to revoke their variants as well and keep them under shutdown. I mean, this is crazy. And I hadn't even heard about what you said about this guy getting released, but it just shows the hypocrisy. Yeah, we're releasing known criminals because of COVID. But if you open up your little mom and pop coffee shop, oh, we're gonna take away your livelihood, fine you, and possibly throw you in jail.
We'd love to have Michael Tao on, and we were subbing for Karen Kathleen. And he was saying we have a new category of death. If you die not from COVID but because of all the restrictions, we call it a Fauci death.
Yeah, death and by Fauci.
Death He's by Fauci. It. So that's one more example of a death. That woman was a death by Fauci.
Or the guy was. Well, let me divide to go on to that because I want to talk to you about that. So Representative Mark Basley, who we're going to try to get on the show next week, has referred the case in Montezuma County for criminal investigation because the coroner put the cause of death as alcohol toxicity, right? Alcohol poisoning. It was the health.
Well, no, he actually, that was a whole separate case, and this is why there's a pattern here.
That
was a case in Cimarron Glen where they've got a lot of people that are end-of-life situations, and the physicians actually classified it as something different, and CDPHE came in that case and reclassified three different deaths in that case.
Right.
And then there's other cases. I know there was a constituent I have in Castle Rock who said that her father died of CDPA or of COPD, and they classified it as COVID.
Right.
So we're seeing a pattern here of the state cooking the books. And
right.
I mean, this isn't something that's new. We've brought it up. I know Senator Cook brought it up to the governor personally months ago, and I brought it up the last time I talked to the governor and was, oh, I didn't know anything about it. We'll fix this. Well, it hasn't yet.
No,
pattern. And how are you supposed to, the state supposed to have any, the citizens have any trust in these numbers when you see stories like this happening? It's outrageous.
Well, and here's the thing, that's just, I mean, it, as I understand it, what Basley is pointing out is that it is actually a crime to change the cause of death on an official government certificate. That's just say,
instead of murder, it's suicide. Take that one, Julie dying, scratch out murder,
there's
suicide.
There's a reason that you have a law that you can't just change it. And then Pola says, oh, that's ridiculous. The CDC told us to do it. It's like,
when did the CDC overrule what you can put on a death certificate in Colorado? I mean, that's an interesting little way
legal
of doing things.
Legal.
Oh, CDC overrules Colorado law on death certificates.
I mean,
right? We can ignore immigration law in Colorado, but CDC puts out some sort of guidelines. Oh no, this is the gospel. We'll just ignore all of our own statutes and follow those guidelines. But let's ignore federal immigration policy.
Right, right. Well, let me ask you this. I know you guys, I've seen it because I've signed it, a petition that you have, you guys are putting out to reopen Colorado. And again, we're seeing now, there just seems to be this complete unequal distribution of who can open, who can't, bizarre regulations. The other day, I got my hair cut, right? And the lady was, first, you can't cut somebody's hair. Look at my ears, right? With a mask on, right? But she was paranoid, saying she was really worried that somebody was going to come in and snitch on her license was going to be revoked.
Well, she should.
What you have, I think, out there, Patrick, are business owners who aren't scared of coronavirus at all, but they're terrified of the Department of Regulatory Agencies and Governor Polis. What kinds of things are you guys doing to try to help address that, if you can?
Yeah, so when we get back into the session, there's a lot of things that we'd like to be seen done. And one of the things I keep saying is, I mean, he doesn't even have to do it the way he's doing it. He could take a lot of pressure off of himself if he were to come out and say, okay, you can open up within these social distancing guidelines. And if you follow these guidelines, guess what? You get immunity from any frivolous lawsuits. And you know what would happen? Businesses would open up and they'd actually be incentivized to follow those guidelines.
Yeah,
right.
That's
you don't
a
even
good
have
point.
To use the right. stick. You could put a carrot out there and accomplish the same thing he's trying to do in a much better manner. My guess is the trial lawyer buddies don't want to see that. But I mean,
No. This is going to be a very fertile ground for that.
For trial. That's a good point. Well, that you talked about when you go back to session. That's if you go back, right? Maybe next time you guys are all going to show up again and the Democrats will say, fooled you. We changed the date again.
We're going to do
How
this
can
one.
They do
we're,
that too? How can they just
they
keep...
do it now? The Supreme Court's kind of greenlit it. You just keep up. You guys can meet in September, October. Probably can't meet in January because you'd be doubling up. But anytime you all want to get to it, you guys, it's all fine. It's all fine.
Yeah, right. I think we will be back on the 26th, and hopefully it's actually short. I mean, there's definitely a divide in the Democrat caucus. A lot of them want to get back to business as usual, but I do think they are going to cut back on many of their bills. Now, we've got some other ideas too that like we should be doing. I think there's going to be a big battle over how the CARES Act money is spent. I want to use it to do things like, replenish the unemployment insurance fund. I don't think that businesses should be forced to have their unemployment insurance skyrocket because the state basically forced them to shut down and lay off their employees. I don't think that's their fault. So I'd like to use that money for things like that. Use that money to a place like CNC Coffee that pays business personal property tax every month, and every chair and table in their restaurant that they were forced not to be able to use, they're still paying taxes on it. And again, if your listeners don't know what the business personal property tax is, that's something above just normal sales tax that they pay when they purchase that equipment. They actually have to pay a fee to use that every month. All businesses do on most of their equipment. So we should be using that money to, gosh, if we told you couldn't use it for the last 2 months, at least we shouldn't have taxed you for it the last 2 months.
And by the way, you have to pay a lot more.
Reverse stuff like that.
Yeah, and by the way, like you said, you have to pay a lot more unemployment insurance because we forced you to make all of your employees unemployed. Well, and I know this is a long shot, and Chuck's going to jump on me for saying this. But,
yes, I am.
But George,
I don't know what it is.
All right, but he's just going to. But George Brocker had a great editorial, I thought, where he said, it's time to maybe take a look and see if we can maybe legislatively do something to make sure this can't happen again, where Governor Polis can just do whatever he wants, tell the health department they can do whatever they want. Now, I know it's a Democrat-controlled legislature, but is there anything, and I said, but maybe we could at least try, raise the interest, or is there any discussion of something like that?
Well, that's something, we've been talking about from the very beginning. And it's not just the governor. I mean, part of the problem we have is with the governor's authority. I would like to see something very similar like what Ohio did, where essentially the governor can call an emergency authority and he's got 15 to 30 days. But after that expires, then he's got to go at least get a legislative approval. And my guess is he would probably get that approval with the legislature we have. But the reason the Democrats wouldn't want to do that is because then they would actually have to go on record and be accountable for the governor's decision.
Good point.
It's the same problem we have with the county commissioners and the local health departments. Not all, but a lot of county commissioners like the fact that they've been able to abdicate their authority and point to the local health department that makes these shutdown decisions and say, oh, it wasn't me. It's out of my hands, guys.
Right.
So I'd like to do the same thing with them. I mean,
if
you had a train blow up with some sort of gas and the health department needs to react immediately and tell everyone to stay in their home. Okay, got that, be able to do that. But after 5 days, maximum, probably 5 days. I think the legislature, it takes a little more time to get us all together, all 100 of us from across the state, but the county commission should be able to meet within a couple days or 5 days, maximum, they should be able to approve that health order.
Well, obviously the only way to get anything that's reasonable done in Colorado is by initiative. I mean, you're just going to have to go down and try to get it through initiative because the Democrats are not going to constrain themselves. They love power anyway. So, but I think the people...
is another interesting point because a lot of people said that. Let's do initiative. Well, when you've got a shutdown order, how incredibly difficult is it to go get signatures?
Yeah.
Right.
In theory, if this emergency...
gather and collect signatures. You can't knock door to door. Most of these counties are still have theirs. So it's a very interesting situation we're in right now.
Yeah, really.
But someday, if we ever get away from this emergency, and this may be a permanent emergency if some people get their thing, that we should be able to. I mean, the only way any reasonable thing is going to be done in Colorado is going to be by initiative. I mean, just it really is. And this is my pet peeve, but out in California, the Republican won in a special election, beating back the Throttle successor. and everybody was, oh, this is so great. Wow. It shows that we can win with ballot harvesting and mail-in ballots. Yes, it was mail-in ballots, but because of the COVID-19, they could not ballot harvest. So that shows you what happens when you don't have ballot harvesting. But that's just,
hey,
that's
just me.
Oh, Julie.
Come on, Julie. I see our next guest coming up, Ted Trimble, already rolling his eyes. So we'll get
Do you have any question for Ted?
Ted, Patrick.
Oh, I have way too many questions for Ted.
All right, Patrick, let me give you a final word. Anything you want to say to folks, you want folks to know, you want folks to be aware of what you're working on?
Yeah, you know, if you guys got any questions, go back to takebackco.com and go back or go to that and you can sign up. We got some petitions out there pushing back on this and ways that you can actually tell the governor, you know, to back off of people like CNC Coffee. And we've got a bunch of stuff going on. But, yeah, we're trying to lead this effort to reopen the state. You take a look at our just huge budget deficit we have, and it's directly a cause of the shutdown orders. And you know what? We're not going to be able to fix this until we actually reopen up. So
that's right.
Folks really got to consider that and really push their elected officials to help get the Colorado reopened.
All right. Keep up doing the good work, Patrick. Good to see you. Talk to you, guys.
All right. Thank you, Patrick Neva there. Now we've got the Ask a Democrat portion of the show with our guest, Ted Trimpa, Democrat strategist. Hey, Ted, thank you for joining us again.
It's good to see you, Chuck and Julie. Hey, it's Julie, good to I love see your you. Hair.
Yeah.
Hey, I got it. Well, I had one person had a question, and I said I'd ask you. How much did you all pay Don Lemon for him to criticize Polis on a show? I mean, that was that was too much. I mean, I couldn't believe that. I mean, now he would just go, "Oh yeah, see, I get the criticism. I'm right in the middle, right? You know, I'm Mr. Fair. Forget about that little CNC cafe one that I squashed and destroyed along with our little kitties." But Don Lemon did criticize.
No, that's all right. We'll just wait to see how many kids get sick from that.
But, yeah, there you go.
Hey, I got to let you know, too, this is going to turn into something of an MMA cage fight because we got Peter Boyles coming on at 3:30.
Oh, great. Oh, perfect. So, I love Peter.
So everybody, you're on Peter's show.
You should have us in the same room, and that way we can
actually. let me, I guess, start out. We wanted to, the first Ask a Democrat question is, how do you think Polis is doing? We clearly have our views, but how, from a Democrat point of view, what's your, and one of the things I want to say this, actually, this is a long question. I always appreciate, yes, you give the Democrat view, but I also think you kind of give somewhat of an honest view.
That's an oxymoron, but you just said the honest Democratic view.
But I mean, the last time you said Polis does not handle the news conferences that well, he shouldn't do a daily.
It's a Democratic view. I go out and I poll people within the and that becomes the honest Democratic view. Actually, I think Jared's doing a good job, and these are the reasons why. One, he's actually, and I said this to the Gazette, he owned it. You know, whether you like it or not, he's up there. He's, you know, making decisions. This is what it's about. He's not dancing around it. A lot of politicians, a lot of elected officials would just dance around what's going on. Two, he's willing to do what he thinks is right. I mean, we weren't meeting and aren't meeting the, quote, CDC guidelines before you should be reopening. And we are starting to on a very limited basis.
Let me ask you one question on that. Health department is changing death certificates so that instead of toxic alcohol or other ones, they're changing them to say COVID-19. And when the governor was asked about that, he said, "Oh, that's okay, because that's what the CDC told us to do." You know, lie, do criminal acts, be engaged in everything. Is it okay to violate Colorado law as long as the CDC says it's just Jim Dandy?
Well, of course not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let him answer.
I'm a law-abiding citizen, so of course not. But I have to say, though, the other thing about this is, you know, they made a good faith attempt in terms of determining what essential businesses are. If I were to make some criticisms,
okay,
not necessarily what Jared's doing, but the overall effort is, what is an essential business?
Yeah.
You know, to me, it's kind of hard to compare alcohol and adult use marijuana. And so if you have an emergency root canal, you're out of luck.
Or you're missing a
tooth. But, you know, if you want to get high because you're really nervous, hey, right, just go down the street.
Well, Doug Friedness,
some of that's pretty ridiculous.
And Doug Friedness had, maybe he didn't mean it this way, Doug Friedness with Brownstein Law Firm, one of your former law firm, had an interesting column way back in the beginning, kind of noting that some of the businesses that were declared essential had better lobby people or lobby people in general. That played a role.
What about the vapors? Why didn't
I think that's definitely true. I mean, well, for example, let's compare the vaping example.
Right, right.
So tobacco's okay. Alcohol's okay. Tobacco being sold in convenience stores in places like Walmart, you know, it's tobacco only stores, not Right. You know, adult use of marijuana is okay, but vaping's not.
Right.
You know, and a lot of adult use vapers are using it because they don't want to use combustible tobacco.
Right.
And the reason why vapers don't get included is, you know, quote, an essential business.
Right.
Is because, well, they don't have, even though I do some work for them, they don't have the breadth of lobbying that
right.
the other folks do. I mean,
right.
who do they need, Doug Friedenash, or who do they
you
need to get?
You and Doug Friedenash.
Well, this is so much, a lot of that, the adult use marijuana and the alcohol was very Denver City driven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you take a look at how Denver politics work, the lobbyists
right.
that are involved in Denver politics, you know what I mean? So.
Right. Well, yeah, it does seem to me actually it makes sense that you're probably less likely to get COVID just one person walking into a vaping shop than going to Walmart,
yeah.
right, with like dozens,
oh,
hundreds
of
people.
I swear to God, I tell you, if you want to be frightened, go to a Walmart, go to a Target, go to Home Depot. I mean, what you ask yourself is, safer at home? Are you kidding me? This is like, why should I stay at home? You look around, people aren't wearing masks, there's no physical distancing.
You're
just like waiting. You're just waiting to pick something up.
We're going to get back to that because when Peter comes on, he wanted to talk about the Polis stuff, but I wanted to briefly digress, go a little bit national with you and Joe Biden.
How do you think he's doing?
Tara Reid. I mean, you know, what's him?
But he's getting that Teflon Don thing that the president has.
Well, I think what's the smart thing that they're doing over the Biden campaign is the attack dog for Biden through all of this has been Ron Klain. And you remember Ron Klain? Ron was chief of staff for Al Gore. He was one of the lead lawyers for Gore during the Bush v. Gore fight. And so
okay.
you have somebody out there, you know, sort of like what Sidney Blumenthal did for Clinton a little bit, but with
okay.
a little bit more
Ooh,
finesse.
Sidney Vicious?
So Biden.
Sidney Vicious? Oh, whoa.
I have to tell you, he's actually a really nice guy. A little bit of an odd duck.
Sidney
nice
Vicious
guy.
Is a nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's the one that Obama said is so awful that he didn't care. He couldn't possibly be part of government because he's so foul. He is a good guy.
He's a nice guy.
So anyway, to get back to Julie's question, I think that because of, well, one, they set this up where Ron Klain is the attack dog. So the one who's out there, you know, effectively in some ways that a vice president would be in a presidential campaign, and that allows Biden to stay above it. That also allows them to be a little more scripted with him. You know, because as you know, it's Biden's getting better with the social media and doing the Zoom thing. It could be better. It could
right.
be better. You know, as you know, even looking at me right now on Zoom, it starts to show my age.
Oh.
So you can only imagine what it does.
It does?
It
shows our age? Wait a minute. I didn't know about this.
See, here's what you need to do. Here's our thing, because I cannot see what I look like without my glasses. So I just take them off and everything's kind of soft.
Blurry. Yeah, soft lens to it.
But you're right.
What I'm going to start doing when you guys invite me on, I'm going to be really, really fun.
Yeah, right.
Or you're going to be like Michael Tower. He's right up here and he's great. You know, on that, let me go to a different.
I could be like a hostage.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly.
Video.
Wait, let me ask you now before we, and then if we can tell the BBC folks, if you guys want to go ahead and call Peter Boyles, we can bring him on. But Chuck has been having fun just as a lawyer, regardless of the politics, with this whole Michael Flynn thing, right? Where the Department of Justice drops it, and then Judge Sullivan just goes, no one's dropping this. I want to be the star of the show. So I'm going to appoint my own friend who just wrote an op-ed saying what a slime ball Flynn is.
To argue to me, a neutral fact finder.
Why should throw Flynn in jail?
I know the Supreme Court just said you couldn't do these kind of things. And Ginsburg's ahead of the D.C. Circuit. Oh, I know there's a Fokker case, beautifully named.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, though, the folks in your world, there's always a conspiracy behind everything. It's the deep state that's behind everything.
There is no deep state.
Michael Flynn got railroaded.
No. There is a deep state or no. Yes or no.
Even if there is a deep state.
No. There is a deep state.
No.
Yes or no.
Are there bureaucrats that have been there a long time? Are there bureaucrats that have an opinion about what should be happening? But to think of it as this conspiratorial deep state, you know, that's like you guys saying that there's a trilateral commission.
I'm kidding.
Like we all get together, we dress in red, we pull out our
stuff. Wait, let's have some fun with him. Julie's always stopping the fun.
I want to get my question answered.
So there is no deep state. There's nothing. Comey was just a patriotic, doing what the FBI does best, and he was just trying to.
I find it amazing. Folks in your world have always been, we've got to support law enforcement. Law enforcement is great. And then all of a sudden, when they may do something you don't like, it's, oh my gosh, they're part of the deep state. You can't believe you can't trust them.
They tried to overthrow the government.
It wasn't like they were giving me a speeding ticket.
And wait a minute. I was not the one who always loved all the police forces.
That's true. That's true. We'll give you that. And you know, I come from a place of don't always, you know, hardly ever trust the cops. So.
Well, that's a smart move. And if it, as it applies to the FBI, it's doubly smart.
But as a lawyer,
I mean, you want to go back to Washington? I want to go to Washington for this hearing. So they have Emmett Sullivan, who is a lot like a judge back in Utah. Then he's got his buddy, who's going to be arguing to him as the neutral fact finder. Then he's bringing the old lawyers to go after their old client.
And Sidney Powell.
I mean, this is going to be a three-ring. This is going to be something to watch. This is going to be fun.
Okay, this I'll give you.
Right. Let's bring up, we've got Peter Boyle.
Wait, what is he giving me?
I'm actually agreeing.
He's a little crazy.
I thought I was going to get a Ferrari or something.
Oh, no. Not in the garage already.
Yeah, in this COVID environment, I can afford a Ferrari.
Yeah, really. We've got 710 KNUS talk show host Peter Boyle with us on the line. Hey, Peter. Good afternoon.
Hey, guys.
Hey there. Okay.
You're here with Ted.
First of all, you got one of my favorite people in the whole universe, Ted. And number two, there is a trilateral commission.
You aren't listening to Enough Talk Radio, Ted. You would know that.
Hey, Peter, you're not supposed to disclose the secrets that I tell you.
That's right. You'll sacrifice your career if you break kayfabe.
The thing I have to say about Peter is, you know, we've known each other for, you know, known of each other for years. We've just known each other for the last year or so, a couple of years.
Because he knows you because of us.
It's like we've known each other 30 years.
Yes.
Well, he introduced us to. So he really is the trilateral commission by himself. He's the trilateral commission.
He's the Cupid and friendship Cupid.
Yes. There you go,
Peter. Peter, is that how you think of yourself?
The friendship Cupid.
The friendship Cupid.
I always quote Nietzsche, you're not known by your friends. You're known by your enemies. So I can't tell you, honest to God, this Ted Trimble guy's the man. And Chuck and Julie, I saw Julie today. We had a big conversation about Inside Radio, and I missed the first part of the show. So with apologies, I'm reading about viruses, which I know so little about, but I don't know. I mean, what's the question? Are you guys just beating up on
Ted? Let me throw you a question.
How do you think Paulus is doing?
Well, wait, let me back up. No, Julie. Because Peter has something.
Yeah, I know he does. But we asked Ted and so forth, and he gave an A++. What grade would you give to Governor Paulus?
Peter.
I give every politician in America, including wish Donald Trump would stay out of press conferences, I give everybody a C, a lot of D minuses.
What is Paulus?
Well, if I take 2 seconds, it's a virus. It doesn't have politics. It isn't Donald Trump's virus any more than it's Vladimir Putin's virus. It's a virus. It happens. If this one happened, there'll be another one coming. And everybody has politicized this, and it's a great sadness. It's leading to the problems the country has today.
Let me ask you.
That's way too wishy-washy on the one hand. On the other hand, can't we all get along?
Trying to get a fight started,
and Peter isn't going
to. So I think another way of thinking about this is, I think Peter's right on it in terms of it's a virus, it's not political. But then when you start taking a look at how governors have handled this, and you compare a Cuomo with a Newsom, with a, you know, DeSantis, and a Jared, and, you know, each has their own style. Yeah. You know, and from my perspective, Newsom owned it, but he has kind of a certain style that's a little stiff, and the hair gel thing is a little much.
Great hair gel.
Cuomo, you know, his middle name now is Empathy, which is hard to believe, given the reputation that he's had.
It's also
years.
A nursing home. The other part and of his middle name is nursing
and
home.
And Jared has really owned it. He's really owned it. But there's been a certain stiffness to it, a certain preachiness to it.
How's he owned it?
Let him finish.
Trying to get an argument going here, Julie, and you and Peter are just throwing it up.
He's owned it because, first of all, one, he decided to open up before a lot of people told him he should try to open up. He's been very direct with people as to what they want to do. You know, even though he puts up those slides that I swear to God, you need binoculars or a telescope.
Right, yeah, that's a bad.
you know, he's trying to do it in a data-driven way. And he's not like dancing around. I mean, you think about how what Kemp's done in Georgia, quite frankly, what DeSantis has done down in Florida.
Reopened their states.
Pardon?
They've reopened the states and things are going just fine there. But let me back up.
Let me finish this other one about dancing. I mean, I've watched most of his press conferences. There's some of them. And he always starts out, and the first thing, your first impression is this is a bright guy. It's a guy who has command of facts. It is, because he rattles off a lot of facts, and he's got graphs, and he does it. It's not Joe Biden where he's lost. You know, where am I? Am I on? Am I on yet?
85,000 unemployed and millions of deaths.
But after
when can I get back to Canasta?
Yeah.
But after that, he says nothing. It's just kind of blah 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 blah, blah 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 blah, and he finally goes,
Chuck,
"What are
we?
Everybody's asking." Everybody's asking, when are you going to open up? And he's going to go, and then he doesn't tell us. We go, yeah, when are we going to open up? Oh, May 27th. I'll think about it then. Before then, I don't know. I'll just have some fun here at my mansion in Boulder. I mean, he says nothing in these conferences. And you just want to throw a rock at the TV.
Well, I hope you don't throw a rock at your TV.
No.
You really don't need to be buying TVs.
No, you can't get a Best Buy.
Well, at least my computer, because it's actually live streamed. So
let's bring Peter back in. Where's Peter?
But he's so nice these days. He's so PC.
Peter wanted to comment on Polis' PSA he did talking about how wonderful the media is. Was he talking about you?
I think so.
No,
I think it was.
You guys, look, this virus will last as long as this virus lasts. Whether it's SARS, swine flu, H1N1, this happens. I mean, this has been my life. I wish I never did well in school, and I still probably couldn't. But for 6 weeks now, I've been nonstop every afternoon and evenings reading about viruses and history, and I'm stunned by the lack of media attention to this will last as long as it lasts.
What does that mean?
End of story. Donald Trump.
What does that mean? I mean, the
that.
Plague, the Justinian sure. plague lasted 150 years. I mean, you know, some of these ones come back.
But the better example was swine or was SARS or MERS. I become like some kind of a little radio geek, but this will last. Listen, fellas, Julie, this will last as long as it lasts, until it either goes to ground, goes to reservoir, burns itself out,
or
morphs,
mutates.
It mutates like the Spanish influenza
did, and kills millions of
but
people.
But Peter, you're not saying we should stay closed then forever, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm saying open.
Okay.
Oh. See, the way I look at it is when Gucci and Louis Vuitton and Givenchy start making designer masks, we know it's going to be around a long time.
That's a good point. You got to pay attention exactly when they start doing it that way. Well, Peter, I did want to ask you though about Polis's, you know, because I got to say, and you know, Ted, I know you have a lot of media expertise too, but Polis did this PSA talking about how wonderful reporters are at a time when not a lot of people think reporters are wonderful.
You know, I know what he's doing, and that's when we became. We were not safe. The next morning, we were not sanctioned talk radio. I went down a whole list of things. We were the outcasts. We were not official. Remember, we had to be reputable talk. We're not reputable talk. And like watching these dopes on Channel 9 and the rest of it, that's the politics of this virus.
Well, let's ask Ted then. What did the governor mean by reputable media?
Us, the Chuck and Julie show?
Yeah, reputable local media. What did your guy mean by that exactly?
That meant F Chuck Clark.
Quite frankly, it's a lot of that. I think it's a lot of the mainstream media. Well, and bluntly, I mean, strategically, you're going to need media to be with you. And the last thing you want to do is to be in a place where you're having Trump treat the media like the way Trump treats the media. And so it does pay off to blow some sunshine up the backside and have some people with some sunburn butts.
Right.
So that way, we have people that at least do some
reputable media.
Well,
who is he?
If
it's reputable media, and he's talking about local, so this is not, you know, Fox News or something. Reputable media means A.
Yeah, but I have to tell you, the local Fox station, KDVR, I would call them reputable.
Of course they were, but national. We're talking local. What do you consider? What do you and the governor consider non-reputable local media? Who are they?
Talking to one of them. That's me.
You know, I'll say this. It is kind of, I think though some people in the media are feeling, I don't want to say the pressure. I just think their ethics are starting to show. It was Chris Vanderbeek. Chris Vanderbeek at Channel 9 who was tweeting today, and then the Denver Post was forced to follow, about the guy who was released early from prison per Governor Polis's orders to the DOC and then killed a woman over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And it's Brian Moss over at Channel 4, who we've had our differences with, who was reporting on the coroner's offices, or the health department changing the autopsy causes of death. So I don't think that I don't think he meant them necessarily. He just meant Kyle Clark, I think, in the Denver Post editorial board or something.
But he said fear-mongering or telling the truth. And the fact is, in telling the truth, you don't speak fear. The fear-mongering are the people that he seems to like because it perpetuates the politics of this virus. I do believe there's a weaponizing this virus to hit Donald Trump over the head with it, to make it Donald Trump's personal virus. It's not.
Right.
It isn't anybody's virus. It doesn't belong to Vladimir Putin. It doesn't belong to the mullahs. It doesn't belong to Boris in England. It doesn't belong to Mother Thatcher. And it sure as hell doesn't belong to Donald Trump.
Maybe
it doesn't
China.
Even belong to
well, you know, I have to tell you, though, politically, given how Trump handled this in the beginning, no matter what his experts were saying, but what he was saying, oh, it's only going to be one person, it's going to go away in a little bit. When it warms up, it's going to be gone. You know, he has to own that.
I'm going to play a Kayleigh McEnany on you, as does Dr. Fauci, as does who, as does everybody at the Washington Post, New York Times, CNN. I mean, we could play that.
You have a series of voodoo scientists that are saying, oh, gee whiz, there's nothing to worry about, so therefore we have to listen to them?
No, Fauci said that in the beginning. Fauci earlier said, this is nothing, no big deal.
Don't wear a mask. It's happy time.
Listen, they go to Davos. They're in Davos, Switzerland. World Health briefs Trump. We know World Health is a collaborating liar with the PRC. When Trump comes back from that, and he kind of, you know, plays it down because of the multinational corporations, the love of the People's Republic, the products flow. Remember in Dune, the spice must flow.
Yeah.
And he got played. He said everything's fine. It's only one guy. Well, hell, that wasn't true. But they're listening to WHO, and that guy should stand trial for murder. And the Chinese who were, you know, they lie when the truth would do. So, but it was up to the love of the multinationals, stock market screaming high, everything's good. You ain't going to screw with the Chinese because they're the source. They're also a big debtor bank holder on the United States economy. You guys, this is but it's the virus.
Right. Well, Ted,
let me ask you this, you know, maybe both you and Ted, I mean, you say it shouldn't be political, but it is political, especially in an election year. And there are two sides. There are the sides of we've got to stay closed, the Gavin Newsom's, the Whitmer.
Can't have any Trump rallies.
No Trump rallies.
That's not true. Gavin's put out a reopening plan, you know, in a stage in terms of certain areas in the state. Same thing with Whitmer. We can criticize in terms of her style, in terms of how she's done it.
She's killing people.
Some criticism there.
We're calling this death by Fauci.
But to say that they don't have a reopening plan.
They don't have a reopening
plan. They have a closed down.
It's not reopened. How about Garcetti's in Los Angeles? That's another good plan.
Oh, yeah, in July or so.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Have you been in downtown Los Angeles? I would want to close down, too, because then everybody's going to be sick.
Whose fault is that? Whose fault is that?
Just trying to jump in. Go ahead, Peter.
When Garcetti says, we'll open when there's an inoculation. I talked to all these, really brilliant people that don't have policies. They can't do it.
Right.
It's not going to happen. You know, it isn't a virus that you're going to have something you can inoculate against, because even I get a flu shot every year, but this stuff is Darwinian. I mean, I'm telling you, I know you guys are all smarter than me in science and everything else, but we're watching evolution take place. Anybody that thinks it's Adam and Eve, it's nonsense. These things are many Darwinians. They're changing. They're evolving. And by the time, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's a Darwinian. You know, you run around and you see people not wearing masks, being within 6 feet.
But you know what's not wearing masks? So, Ted, this cracks me up. So I wear a mask, right? Because I don't want to freak out other people. I think it's silly. I don't think it's necessary. But I realize I got to go to the grocery store. I got to go to Target. So, but you know who are not wearing masks? It is your little millennial people.
Yeah,
right?
You're millennial people.
I mean, it's my daughter.
I'm 53. How am I millennial?
Your party is a party of millennials. The millennial people are going, this is stupid. Let me ask you, this is my theory that, though, the Democrats, one of the reasons you guys are pushing this is you need to keep Joe Biden out of a debate.
Oh, yeah.
all debates. You need to keep Joe Biden out of a convention speech. Yeah. I mean, I think that's part of your plan to say, we're just going to nominate and coronate Joe Biden.
You'll bring a cardboard thing up there and just have it move a little bit. And everybody, well, that's, that wasn't too bad for Joe. He's getting better.
with a little button that says, I just came from Canasta.
Yeah. What do you got? I mean, what are the Democrats looking at? And Peter, you can jump in on this too, but what are they looking at? I mean, that's got to be a concern.
Well, it would look weird if Biden tries to play too strong a role at this point, because it looks like he's trying to politicize it. That's the reason why I think you go back to the wrong claim piece. If you want somebody who'd be the attack dog, give it an attack dog that's in that world, somebody that Biden and that team trusts.
Nobody wants Biden's a senile attack dog. There are no senile attack dogs out there. You're right about that.
Ted and I talked about it. I don't think Joe's there. I don't think he makes, as we say, in monster truck land. I don't think he makes a full pull. I really don't. I think that they look at each other and they go, smart guys like Ted, and they go, no, this guy's not going to let anything. He's going to get clipped. And now they're trying to pretend like we're not going to have debates, him and Trump. Have you seen that? The Dems don't even want him up there in the ring with Trump.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, listen, Biden has trouble working Zoom.
They're going to have to debate. They're going to have to debate. And I have to say, as a Democrat, it does worry me, because Trump is going to walk all over him.
Oh, walk and clobber him. Biden's going to
be. Everybody thought that Paul Ryan was just going to destroy him, because prior to that, Sarah Palin had, by all counts, won the debate between him and Sarah Palin. So it was, oh, God, Sarah Palin compared to Paul Ryan. And then Biden just went off the reservation. He just started screaming and moving, and he was effective. He was great. So maybe you can bring that guy back. I mean, just it's like when somebody goes into the ring and you're going to fight him, they start waving their arms around and twirling, and you're lost. You go, I don't know. How am I going to fight this guy?
How long ago was that? How long ago was that when it was Palin? How many years ago?
Well, that's a good point. That's a while ago.
But he lost that one. He won the one against Ryan. That was only 4 years ago. And he'll be just like Reagan was in 86, where you just wonder if he's going to make it through the debate. And the fact that he made it through the debate before he became
totally
senile. Yeah, I know.
Chuck.
So, let me ask you this, Ted. Because I know you deal in deep secret, dark money, trilateral commission, Democrat areas. What kinds of stuff can you tell us about that you guys have going on? And how do you, sort of as we kind of, work our way through eventually reopenings, where do you see the Democrats positioning themselves in all of this?
Well, let me get my little book so I can check and see, so that we can open it up and go through it. Step one, this is what we're going to do. But on a serious note, dark money is not going to go away, because spending money is free speech. People should be able to put money into politics and not necessarily have to disclose. That's just the way of the world. And anybody who thinks that they're going to make all of this go away, they're singing Dixie in the South that may not really exist anymore. So that is going to happen. And there has to be some type of attack campaign on Trump. I think that his performance around coronavirus is something that they believe that they can really play against him. I'm not for sure it's going to be as effective as they think it's going to be. I think that they're going to try to connect and say, well, if he would have acted earlier on COVID, then this would have been a lot smaller, then we wouldn't have the impact on the economy we have today. Right. So the reason why we have a bad economy is because of him. Right. Because historically people have voted, how the economy is going to do.
Yeah.
Right. And Trump is going to try to say, hey, listen, but for this, we would have had the best economy we've ever had, blah, 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 blah. Right. So I would expect that. Where I think a major play is going to be, no matter how the presidential campaign plays out, is the Senate. Because you take a look at polling up in Maine and Arizona, in Kansas, here, North Carolina. I mean, it is realistic that the Democrats will take the Senate back.
Yes.
No. Oh, that's a cheerful thought.
No, I think that's right.
I hope Ruth Bader Ginsburg can survive long enough.
You guys managed to crook this state and make it a non-democracy through mail ballot, but more importantly, the ballot harvesting. And obviously the Democratic
people. Because when we harvest ballots, we also harvest organs. It's kind of our side.
It won't even go into the hole, due date.
You actually do that. It's a little gruesome, but I'll give you that. You do harvest baby organs.
No,
word. But
Charles.
That's okay. But let me ask this thing, Ted.
And then Peter, hang on.
So you've rigged Colorado so we don't have a democracy. And I understand Nancy is really pushing that in this in her COVID relief bill. And maybe she won't get this whole bill through, but there'll probably be one that will come down. Do you think you can, like you're
rigging? Because God forbid we want a system where actually everybody can vote.
Whether you're a citizen or not, whether you're alive or you're dead, it doesn't matter. As long as it comes out Democrat, then it's a good system.
Say, hey, Peter's been trying to get in here.
The point I'm trying to make is the party that Mr. Bonnewell is a delegate for, the Republicans. You want to know why Ted's party won? Go get a mirror. You got the worst going political party that I've witnessed in my life.
Well, what political party do you have? Tell us about your political party. I understand the Republicans suck. They've sucked ever since after Barry Goldwater. They sucked, as far as I was concerned. But they suck, and I know the Democrats suck. But you don't have a choice.
Bring Barry Goldwater back and see how many races you win. Please bring him back.
Yeah. So the Republicans suck, and I acknowledge they suck. But you just can't say everybody sucks. But I'm okay because I don't back anybody.
Well, and they don't want you. No, seriously. I mean, you want to know why the Democrats win? Go ask Walker Stapleton. Go ask your favorite Bob Beaupre. Go ask your close personal friends that are flying John Hickenlooper running the jet.
You're preaching to the choir there. Yeah. And we won't even have time to go into all the mess that's going on in the Republican Party in Colorado. Hey guys, listen, we're gonna have to move on. Peter, thank you.
Well, that's not Peter. Come on, Peter, give us one. Yeah.
Peter, you got something going on this weekend that you're going to be rallying, right?
That. Well, it's a bunch of people that won't wear masks and ride motorcycles, and they're going to meet and they're going to surround the Capitol, which ought to really be good, and we'll see if we get another fake nurse or two. I don't think they'll get any fake bikers. I don't think they're going to get fake bikers.
They're going to say,
okay, to Uncle Jerry, a.k.a. Pontius Polis, open it up. And it'd be fun to see what Kyle Clark does with that come Monday. So,
how do you join? How can people get there? Where are you?
Jan has that.
Okay.
All right. Peter, we'll see you there.
No, we're cool with it.
All right, Peter.
Ted's doing a radio show with me, I think, on Monday or Tuesday, by the way. It's a plug.
All right.
Yeah, 710 KNUS, 5 to 9 every morning. The number one
show
in the universe.
In the universe.
And it's a lot of fun.
It is. Peter, thank you so much.
Thanks, Peter.
Honest to God. I'm talking to three of my favorite people, by the way, Chuck and Julie and Ted. So, and I think, Julie, I think we're writing on Monday, so everybody remember that. So there we go.
Okay, that's right, for the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle. Good point. We'll have lunch. Okay, bye, Peter. Thank you. Ted, final thing. Do you see, is Polis under, final question before we get to Jan. We've seen a lot of these, reopen pushes. And I think that there are people there, granted, probably a lot of them conservative voices, but I think a lot of them just small business voices. What a kind of advisor, what are pollsters or the Democrats thinking on all of that?
Well, I think initially the challenge was in defining what essential businesses are. So, for example, pharmacies should be essential businesses. Certain food items should be essential businesses. Well, Target sells food, Walmart sells food, but then they sell a lot of items that boutique stores sell, but they're not essential services. So you end up benefiting larger corporations tending to be national corporate chains. I'm not for sure all of that was really thought through. And I think that there was a belief that maybe this wouldn't be as long as they would have to in terms of the reopening.
Yeah.
And there's a lot percolating up. And so, I mean, people should be upset. I feel bad about it. There's small little places that we used to shop down in Cherry Creek. I know that sounds uppity, but that aren't and can't be open today. But if I go to Target, I can get the same thing.
Right.
And I think that is in part Jared has been willing to consider reopening sooner than what I think some people thought he was going to do. Because I do think there's a real calculus there about small businesses. The challenge now is, what do you do with the restaurants? How do you do the physical distancing with restaurants in a way that the restaurant could still make money? Because they have to compare, okay, I'm going to have half the tables if I'm open. How does that compare with the money that I make, with takeout? Because both of them could end up being a wash. So what economically is really the right decision for me. And I think that's going to vary. I think he ought to consider
just destroying all of them as he's doing. Just destroy all of them, because seldom can you go 1 month, 2 months.
Because what we can do is we can have, like Cuba, we can have state-owned restaurants where the food just really sucks.
Yes, exactly.
Well, on that, before we get to Jan, I think, and hopefully somebody's lobbying him for this, places like the city of Glendale, I know even in Denver, they're talking about opening the streets and essentially allowing businesses to maybe, open up in the parking lot and that kind of thing, and maybe relaxing some of the regulations.
How does that work with strip clubs?
There's going to be a lot of those sunburns on the backside.
That's right. Well, Tad, great to have you. You're always so much fun to have. You're always so intelligent and witty.
I love it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks very much.
Sure.
All right. Thank you there, Ted Trimpa. Okay. Wanted to bring on, this is a jam-packed show, Jan Cook with Colorado Freedom Force, because Jan, they've got a bunch of things going on. The due date, too late, curing period is coming up, and they've also got this rally. She has the details on that. So, hey, Jan, thank you. Good afternoon. You're a busy lady these days.
Boy, she ever.
Well, I'll tell you, it's an honor to follow Ted and Peter. My goodness, two stars. Julie, you're right on the money, though, about expanding into parking lots and things with the restaurants. They're already doing that with this carryout. People are getting very creative, right?
Right.
They pop their trunks and their SUVs, and they bring little chairs, and they sit out and have a glass of wine and an appetizer with their friends, 50 feet from the restaurant. I did that myself several times this week. So we just need to open up and everybody will figure it out, right?
Right.
So what I wanted to tell you, the duedatetoolate.com has, we're at the cure period started today. We have 2 weeks from today to get 10,000 signatures in order to get on the November ballot. So if everybody just simply goes to due, late.com. All of the signing locations are constantly being uploaded and updated. If they go there constantly, if they're on their way out, check out that website. I have several events that I will be at this weekend. They will be uploaded later today, but there's an Armed Forces Day celebration tomorrow, which is May the 16th from 1 to 3 p.m. across from the Capitol at Lincoln Park.
Okay.
And then the second one I'll be at, you mentioned, and Peter is sounds like he's going to be there as well, and that's the rally to open the state at the Capitol Sunday, May 17th. And the host of this, it's incredible. I have to believe we're going to get a huge crowd. That's John Tegan, and he's known for his role in the Central Intelligence Agency that held off the radical Islamists back at on
Benghazi.
September the 11th, 2012. Mm-hmm. At Benghazi. So he'll be there. He's the host. And there's these staging areas in various restaurants all over Colorado that are going to be driving in from those locations, from those locations to the Capitol. So it should be a huge crowd.
Right. I think, we're planning on going too. And people, if you don't want to drive around, I think they can just show up at the Capitol at noon. Is that the time to be there?
Yes, noon on Sunday, tomorrow on Saturday at Lincoln Park, it's from 1 to 3, and then from Sunday at the Capitol, it's from 12 to 2. Just look for end late-term abortion, sign here signs, and they'll find us.
Okay, and Chris Doty, I think, just put up, if you can go to Reopen Colorado, the Facebook page, I think they have a lot of information there. And Jan, is the governor going to allow online signature gathering for this petition thing, or no, you got to do it in person?
No, this is, anytime you have an official petition that goes on to a ballot for citizens to vote for, it has to be paper.
Well, the governor was asked to override that because he has the emergency authority to override.
And that he did not want to override.
But that he decided not to. He said it wouldn't be a good idea.
Oh, Planned Parenthood would not have
Planned Parenthood would not. Okay, so Jan, we've got the realities down. One more time, what's the website if people want to find the locations where they can sign these petitions, the due date, too late petitions?
Yes, and where you can find locations, which will be constantly updated, it's duedatetoolate.com. That's D-U-E, date, T TOOLATE.com.
All right.
DueDateTooLate.com.
All right. Hey,
and,
thank you.
And Julie, as always, I will post something to your Facebook page.
Perfect.
With the website so that they can go to Chuck and Julie Show on Facebook and they will see the information. Just click on, you have a, it's posts and you'll see it there.
Okay. Great, great. Dan, you're great as always.
You
thank
are, you. You are an energizer bunny.
Yeah, you are. You
are. All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great
thanks.
Weekend.
Thanks,
right.
You too.
Bye-bye.
You know, real quick before we kind of go into some final comments, I think we should tell folks you've been talking before about Cenogenics, right? One of our new sponsors.
Well, you may have noticed that Boris Johnson got COVID-19, and he said the reason why it affected him so much is he hadn't really been taking care of himself, hadn't been taking care of his diet, hadn't been taking care of, you know, what the right amount of hormones and vitamins and everything else. And he said that really put him in danger. Well, take the word from him. I mean, get yourself back into the kind of balance that you need to be to fight off things like COVID-19. And that's Cenogenics does. It's age management, weight management. It gets you the right amount of hormones, the right amount of vitamins, the right amount, everything you need. Make sure that your arteries are plaque-free, that your whole body is working well so that you're the kind of person where you'll not be at risk. You'll
and
be
you'll
out
just
of it.
Be in great shape anyway.
And you'll really love it. So, and Julie McCallum, there's no nicer, better, more intelligent person. And she does this directly. She doesn't shove you off to third party. She oversees everything personally. So if that's something that sounds good to you, and it should, 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681, Cenogenics, CENEGENICS. I actually spelled it right then.
That's right. Good job. And tell them Chuck and Julie sent you.
And tell them Chuck and Julie.
Sent you.
No, Chuck and Julie.
Chuck and Julie sent you. We've only got a couple of minutes here. I wanted to thank everybody for the show. But I think, you know, the reopen, my sense is from driving around that a couple things. I really do think that some of the small businesses are way more terrified of regulatory agencies and the governor and fines and things like that than they are of the coronavirus. I think that has to change. Businesses have to have clear answers, clear expectations, and they got to get rid of, you know, like I said, the lady, you know, people who cut your hair, people who do facials, you can't do that with a mask on. So it's ridiculous to require it.
Well, you know, in Colorado Citizen Press, I was being facetious with Ted that he make sure that all restaurants die. But there's a great article in Colorado Citizen Press talking about how many will, in fact, not be able to reopen.
Have already,
but even more will be unless the governor does something. And maybe May 27th, and this idea that you let 25% in, you have a lunch crowd of 25%. It just something allow people, and really, so that's the kind of stories in Colorado Citizen Press is one of our sponsors, but
right.
Just great to read.
Right, right. And again, so we'll be keeping on this. On Monday, we're hoping to get Representative Baisley, calling for a criminal investigation into the Colorado Department of Health, trying to change the cause of death on death certificates. So a lot of stuff going on. We want to thank everybody. Thank everybody listening to us on Zoom.
Thank D-Men. Both Doug and Don.
At BBS Radio. If you missed the show, you want to catch it, please go to chuckandjulie.com. That'll send you everywhere you need to go. Once again, Chris Doty, thanks to his help, you've been doing a great job getting new subscribers on YouTube. So if you haven't yet, please go to YouTube. Just go to chuckandjulie.com, click on the YouTube link. That'll take you right there. Take a listen to the podcast and subscribe. And that's it for there. For
that's it.
Today.
That's it. See you on Monday.
Party Friday. Wait, don't get out of the shot yet.
What would this be without me being able to see me?
Party Friday.
Party Friday.